Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28. Matthew 6 and verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Four times over in this passage you have those words, O ye of little faith. You'll find them in verse 25, or take no thought for your life, and then again in verse 28 and verse 31, therefore take no thought saying, and verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Four times over we are exhorted in these few verses to take no thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry, don't fret about tomorrow, which seems good exhortation for the day in which we live. We're constantly concerned and worried and disturbed about tomorrow. But here is the Lord Jesus, and he's telling us not to be concerned about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And right in the middle of these four exhortations, he brings to our attention the little lily. If you were to turn to the Song of Solomon, you would find several references to the lily. The Lord Jesus Christ, the divine bridegroom, is there likened unto the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. How significant that Christ should be likened unto a lily, the lovely little lily of the valley. But then he turns around and he likens his people unto that same delicate little flower. We read over there about the lily among the thorns. He likens his children among thorns, the righteous among the wicked, for the thorns are to be burned. And so Christ likens his own. Those who are saved by his grace, he likens them unto lilies among thorns. Then he also is found feeding among the lilies, down in the garden of the lilies. And he's feeding, he's getting something out from these lilies. Then we find him also in chapter 6 and verse 2, he has come down to his garden to gather lilies. And the Lord is indeed gathering his lilies, as we'll see a little later on, eventually to gather all his lilies. And then if you were to turn over to the book of Kings, 1 Kings 7 and 19, I think it is, you would find the engraving of lilies in the temple, in that beautiful temple where God's presence was realized. You'll see among the carvings in that beautiful temple, carvings of lilies. And there you have the lily glorified in the presence of God. What a wonderful book our Bible is, and what variety of truth is presented in the Scripture. And so this morning, I want to speak upon the little lily of the valley. You know, it does not toil or strive, as it tells us here. It does not toil nor strive to be a lily, because it has the lily life. And here is something I want to emphasize for the sake of those who are not Christians. You do not toil or strive to become a Christian. A lot of people are trying their utmost to become a Christian. You don't become a Christian by striving, by toiling, by spinning, by self-effort. No, you become a Christian when you become associated with Jesus Christ. Just like in Song of Solomon, he is the lily of the valley, and then he turns around and he likens his own people unto that same little flower. And how wonderful to know that you have the lily life, the Christ life. He that hath the Son hath life. And you don't strive to become a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the lily life. You are associated with, identified with, united with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, you know, the lily is not manufactured. Of course, there are some hypocrites. They've imitated almost every flower today. One time, I think I told you, I went to my sister's home and I thought she had a beautiful bunch of roses on the dining room table, and I went over and stuck my nose into a bunch of hypocrites. They looked so real. But they were not real, and so today there are a lot of people, and
They look like Christians, they seem to have the outward appearance, but they are just not. And so it's a wonderful thing to be a real lily, not manufactured, not made of men, not artificial. Why are lilies real? Because they're born of the lily seed. And you know, that's how we become lilies. You'll notice the lilies we're talking about, they grow. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Now, artificial flowers don't grow. They remain as they are, as they were made, but real Christians. It's a good way to detect the difference between a real Christian and a non-Christian, although a person may make a profession and join the church. And if an imitation is manufactured, he's not genuine, he's not a real lily. The real lily grows. Consider the lily of the field, how it grows, says the Lord Jesus. When a person becomes a true child of God, he grows. Grows in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the lily becomes a lily because it comes from the lily seed. We become Christians because we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. A Christian comes from a seed. What seed? The word of God. It tells you that in that text I've just quoted in 1 Peter 1:23. We're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now incorruptible seed begets incorruptible life. Corruptible seed begets corruptible life. We were born into this world through corruptible seed. And therefore, we are corrupting day by day. We're going down. And everything outside of Christ is corruptible. And in that coming day, the corruptible shall put on incorruption. Meaning that the child of God who's really been born again will take on the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has been born of the incorruptible seed, the word of God. Simply meaning this, when you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, something is now within you that's incorruptible. It'll remain the same as that text says, incorruptible seed, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. How wonderful that is. You know, you read over in 1 John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God which were born, not of blood. We're not homemade Christians, not through natural generation. Nor of the will of the flesh. We're not self-made Christians. Not by your own self-effort. Not of man. We're not man-made Christians. But born of God. God-made Christians. There's a big difference. You have the four classes given you in that one text in 1 John, or rather John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12. Born not of blood. A lot of people seem to think because their parents were Christians or their grandparents were Christians that they automatically are Christians. No, friends, the Bible distinctly says that's not the case. Nor of the will of the flesh. I don't become a Christian by myself, independent of anyone else. No, I do not become a Christian by the will of the flesh. Nor by the will of man, not by the operation of any man or the influence of any man upon me do I become a Christian. But I'm born of God. It's God's operation upon me. It's God's interest in me. It's God's influence upon me. It's God's Spirit that works with me. It's God's Spirit that quickens me. And thus I'm born of God. That's how I become a lily, because I'm born of the lily seed. You know another thing. Once a lily, always a lily. A lot of people don't believe this, but it's in your Bible. Once a lily, always a lily. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You never saw a lily turn into a weed yet. Although some smell like weeds, they use the weed. But not a real lily. Here is a lily, once a lily, it's always a lily. A lovely lily. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'll tell you, if that depended upon us, we wouldn't be lilies long. Once a lily, Always a lily. Once a Christian, always a Christian. We owe that to the grace of God and the keeping power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's plainly taught in our Bible. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How wonderful then to know that you are a lily. And you're a lily because of the grace of God. You're a lily because of that incorruptible seed that's been planted within your soul. You're associated with Jesus Christ. And you'll never be anything else but a lily in the sight of God. It doesn't depend upon your feelings either. A lot of people think, well, if I feel saved, I'm saved. If I don't feel saved, I'm lost. I never will forget the first airplane ride I had. Jimmy Chappell of North Carolina coaxed me into the field back in those days, and that's some 33 years ago. Planes weren't so safe then as they are now. One of these fellows came to downtown, was taking people up for a ride for $1. So Jimmy said, let's go up. And I didn't want to go up, but I wouldn't let him be braver than I was. I said, all right, I'll go. Well, I'm going to tell you, when that thing got up in the air, I thought it was suspended up there by a cable, and we were there to stay. And if that plane had done what I felt like it was going to do, we'd have taken a nosedive. I wasn't feeling too happy or too safe up there. And if that plane had responded to my feelings now, we'd have come down in a hurry. But the plane paid no attention to my feelings. It went about its business, and I'm glad it did. And finally, it came down. It went up, but it took its flight, and it came down independent of my feelings. I went into the plane. I trusted it. And although I didn't feel too happy about it at times and too safe, nevertheless, the plane brought me back down again. It didn't pay any attention to my feet. And you know, once you come to Jesus Christ and once you accept Him, once you trust Him, once you step into Him, He'll take you to heaven. You may have miserable days, you may feel sometimes a little unhappy, but Jesus Christ is paying no attention to your feelings. You trusted Him. Be my feelings what they will, Jesus is my Savior still. Mine is something a piece of undigested food can rob a Christian of his joy. You get feeling miserable. You wonder sometimes if he's saved. Friend, if you're in Christ, you're in Christ to say, saved. And you're safe in Him. Safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. On my birthday, I don't feel one day older than I did the day before. But according to the calendar, according to what is on that calendar, and according to facts, I am older. Whether I feel like it or whether I don't, I'm older. Whether I feel like it or whether I don't, if I've trusted Christ, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. His word does not alter. Born again by the corrupt, incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You'll notice here the lilies grow. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. I wonder if we grow. You know, lilies have got to have soil to grow in. So do Christians. What is the soil a Christian grows in? Well, you'll have a time growing without this blessed book. Here's the rich loam, and rich soil in which a Christian grows. Get the roots of your faith into this blessed book, and in a measure you read the Word of God. In that measure you will grow. If you only read a little, you'll only grow a little. If you read a lot, you'll grow a lot. How wonderful when a Christian gets into this blessed book and knows what it is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the soil. And then you've got to have atmosphere. A lily can't grow, nor any flower can grow without the proper atmosphere. It's got to have oxygen. It's got to have atmosphere. And what is the atmosphere? The air that the Christian breathes, prayer. You've got to spend time as a Christian in prayer if you ever expect to grow. And what are some of the other things essential to a Christian's growth? Witnessing for Jesus Christ. As you witness for Christ, as you speak to others about the Lord Jesus, you'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. As you fellowship with God's people, mingle among other lilies. You're not going to grow much if you're seeking your fellowship among the thorns, among the wicked. You're not going to grow much as a Christian. It's in the measure that Christians fellowship together, come together for prayer and Bible study and fellowship together in other respects. They're going to grow. They're in the proper environment. They're in the proper society. They're in the proper company. They're going to grow as lilies. Then again, circumstances. Many a painful circumstance is the soil in which a lily grows. I know some Christians and they've gone through some trying circumstances, painful circumstances, maybe illness, trouble in the family. They've gone through some hard times and trying circumstances, but they have emerged having grown in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Many and many a soldier boys come home. My, he said, if I hadn't have been a Christian, I couldn't have stood. I just couldn't have stood up to the temptation. But being a Christian, I took my stand for Christ. It was hard at times. But I took my stand. And the result of that young Christian taking his stand in the midst of adverse circumstances, he grew and developed. He became a testimony. He strengthened his spiritual life. So often circumstances are essential to our growth in the things of God. And again, ordinances. If you're a born-again Christian, one of the first things you should do is get baptized, because in that ordinance, you'll contribute to your growth as a child of God. And then the Lord's Supper. It's nice to sit at the Lord's table on Sunday morning, as we were hearing this morning. We grow at the Lord's table. We get to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was made known to them on the 24th of Luke in the breaking of bread. Christ makes himself known to his people in this ordinance. And thus all these things contribute to the growth of the child of God, the growth of the lily. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to look at a Christian and say, my, how he grows. How she's growing. Just developing as a Christian. You look at some and they're standing still, they're not growing at all. They're just where they were a year ago. Just where they were 5 years ago. They haven't shown any development. They haven't shown any growth in grace at all. You know, it's not all sunshine with the lily. How do they grow? Some things are favorable, other things are not favorable. The lily has wind sometimes to blow it, and the rain helps it down. There's night and there's day. There's darkness, there's light. There's cold and there's heat. The lily has all this to encounter. But all these things, some of them unpleasant, yet they contribute to the growth of the little lily. Some careless foot sometimes tramples the little lily and crushes it. But finally the little lily staggers once again to its feet, and the bell begins to ring. Sometimes a heavy rainstorm pelts the little lily to the ground. Once again it struggles and staggers to its feet and shakes away the raindrops, and sometimes, Christian, oh, they're trampled, they're crushed. Circumstances have been cruel. They seem almost to have come to their end, but by the grace of God and the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ, they stagger once more to their feet, and they shake away the tears, and they lift their face, and they go on for God. They've grown. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. You know the little lily. It doesn't grow by toiling, it tells you that here. They toil not, neither do they spin. The lily takes what comes. It takes what comes. In other words, if you want to use a word to describe the lily, it just abides as it is. It toils not, it worries not, it frets not, it weeps not. He says, consider the lily of the field, how it grows. It toils not, neither does it spin. The little lily has many things going for it. The gentle wind fans it. The sun warms it. The earth feeds and nourishes it. The rain gives it drink, and here's how the little lily grows. You'll notice all its strength is from without. It gets all its nourishment from without. It's dependent upon these things. The little lily doesn't have a little motor in itself. It's not able to, by its own hands, to provide these things. It just soaks up everything that nature gives. And in this way it grows. It toils not, neither does it spin. Yet he says, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Solomon's glory was artificial. Solomon's glory was man-made, but the glory of the lily is God's glory. It's God's glory. The glory that God has given to it. It's real, true, it's not artificial, it's not man-made. Consider the lily. And you know, our strength to grow is not in ourselves. It's all outside ourselves. I can't pull myself into knots. I can't make up my mind and nickel my brow. I'm going to go now to Christ. I'm going to do it. No. There's a little word that says, abide in me. And let my word abide in you. It means abiding in Jesus Christ. From day to day, abiding in him. You take the branch and the vine. You don't see that branch twisting and turning and struggling to bear fruit. It doesn't do that. All the branch does is abide in the vine. And the vine is the one that sends the sap through the branch to produce the leaves and eventually the grapes. And it's up to us as Christians to abide in Jesus Christ. To rest in him. It's not by self-effort. It's not by my works. I become spiritual, or I go as a Christian. I abide in Jesus Christ. I just soak up. I absorb all that I have in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my life. He's my life. He's my soil. He's my sun. He's my atmosphere. He's the showers. He's everything to me. Without Christ, I can do nothing. Oh, to know what it is to abide in Jesus Christ. You say, how do you do that? You abide in Jesus Christ by simple faith. As I read his word. Just read his word. I am certainly abiding in him by reading all about him. I look to him in prayer. And I don't get panicked or excited. I just look to him with simple complacency. I look to him. I trust in him. I abide in him. And as I do, I grow as a Christian. You never saw a fretful Christian grow yet. You never saw a worried Christian grow yet. You never saw a Christian tied in knots and living under a strain and in constant tension. You never saw a Christian like that grow yet. The Christian who's growing is a Christian who's abiding in Jesus Christ. Allowing Jesus Christ to reproduce his life through me. The mirror doesn't struggle and strive to reflect the likeness of my face. No, the mirror's right there. All I've got to do is stand before it and look into it. And it will reproduce and reflect my likeness. Jesus Christ, all we have to do is look at him. Look to him. Get before him and look into his blessed face. Look into his blessed word. Just look to him in every time of trial and circumstance. And he will reflect his own likeness in us. This is how we grow as Christians. A lot of Christians, my, they're so frantic, they're so busy, they're running here, they're running there. I pity some Christians. Members of churches, they're going from Monday morning to Sunday night. They've got to do this, they've got to do that. They're on this committee, they're on that committee. They've got to teach Sunday school, they've got to sing in the choir. There's something going all the time, and they just go, 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 go. I'd like to ask them how much time they're spending in this blessed book. I'd like to ask them how much time they spend on their knees in prayer. I'd like to ask them how much time they have just to simply rest in Jesus Christ, to abide in him, and let him reproduce himself through this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the point. Just like the branch abiding in the vine, so the Christian abides in Jesus Christ by faith, by simple repose We rest in him, and thus we grow. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Everything they get comes from without. Everything I need to grow in grace comes from without me. Comes from Jesus Christ. The little lily is so frail in itself. It's not a stalk or like a sunflower, strong and husky. No, no, the little lily in itself is so frail. Another thing about the lily, it's fragrant. You know, the Bible speaks of Christians producing a fragrance. We are a sweet savor of Christ unto God. A sweet savor of Christ. Is there Christ-likeness about me? Does God receive, does he smell a savor of his Son in me as a Christian? Is there that sweet fragrance about me as a lily, a Christian? You remember Mary, and she anointed his feet with ointment. And she took her lovely locks and she used those silken threads as a towel. And she wiped the feet of the Savior. And when she did, a lot of that perfume, a lot of that ointment got on her hair. And when she left the Savior's feet, and as she walked around the house and she walked out into the community, people could smell something. They smelled a lovely aroma. They smelled the fragrance. Where did she get it? At Jesus' feet. That's where she got it. By lavishing her love upon him, she extracted a perfume, a fragrance that lingered with her. So in the measure we spend time at his blessed feet in fellowship with him, in that measure we're going to carry away a fragrance, something that others can detect. They took knowledge of the early disciples that they had been with Jesus and learned of him. There was a savor of Christ about them. So there'll be a savor of Christ about you and me as Christians if we spend time in his presence. The lily, too, is individualistic. No two lilies are alike. No two lilies are alike. Isn't that amazing? Each lily stands on its own. And yet, you know, there's a family likeness. They're all lilies. You look at them. From a distance, you would say they're all alike. But you examine each one, no two are exactly the same. And although there's a family likeness about God's people, we're one family, all saved by sovereign grace. Those who are the children of God, there's a family likeness, the likeness of Christ. But examine each Christian by himself, and you'll see there's a difference. No two are exactly the same. And yet there's a family likeness. You know, if we were to consider this family likeness, my would do away with a lot of envies and jealousies among God's people. I think I mentioned one time being in the home of the Plowman family out in Iowa. And my, was wonderful in Central Iowa to be in that home. There were about 12 kids in that family. And just about every one of them could do something, had a talent of some kind. And I used to be there and watch them sitting back in one of the corner, and there's the proud father sitting there. You could see pride busting out all over him. Why, his daughter was playing the piano, another one of his children was singing. Maybe there'd be a duet, maybe there'd be a quartet, another one could play some other instrument, and you just were entertained all evening by one family. There was no pride. There was no jealousy on the part of the children, because when one was playing, the other one could say, well, that's my sister doing that. That's my brother doing that. They had a pride in what each other was doing. There was a family life, a family love, a family respect. So there should be among God's people. If someone can play better than I can play, I shouldn't be jealous. That's my brother in Christ. If someone can sing better than I can sing, why, that's fine. That's my brother in Christ. We're all one in Christ. We're all doing it for Christ's sake. If someone can preach better than I can preach, wonderful. Be glad to enjoy listening to him. He's my brother in Christ. He's exalting my Lord. He's trying to reach sinners for the Savior. There's a family likeness, and yet we're all individuals. Let's not forget our individuality. And be ourselves. You know, a lot of trouble with Christians today, they're not themselves. They're trying to be somebody else. The little lily doesn't do that. The little lily is itself. Just itself. You know, the reason a lot of people don't take a good photograph is because they try to pose. Every photographer, a good photographer, he tries to catch the subject when he's not trying to pose, just get a natural. Some of the best pictures you take were taken when no one, you didn't know it. Someone took you when you weren't looking, you weren't expecting it. They got you natural. When people try to pose, the only thing they impress is the film. They don't impress anyone else. Just be natural. Be yourself. Don't try and be someone else. Little Lily is individualistic. Each one is its own self. May that be so with us. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Think of the simplicity of the little lily. How humble it is. There it hangs its little head. You know, the little lily is just the same on the king's table in the palace, for many a lily of the valley has been in little days on the table in the palace of the king. What high honor. But it would be just the same if it was in some obscure nook way off in some field or in the home of a beggar. Just the same wherever it's found. It's not high and mighty. It's not conceited and proud because it's on the king's table. No, it's the same everywhere. How nice to be the same everywhere. Consistent. The same on Monday as we are on Sunday. Wherever we are, we're just the same. Just the same. We're lilies of the valley. We're the Lord's beloved people. We're consistent. Like the lily. If we are exalted, we hang our head in humility. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. My, they grow. And how do they grow? Straight up. They don't crawl like a vine. The lily grows straight up. It doesn't grow crooked. Christians should grow straight up. They don't grow crooked. They shouldn't. Nor do they crawl like a vine. They grow to the glory of God. They've got one object, one aim, and that's to grow up. To become an adult. To mature. They grow toward God. They grow in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. They grow straight up. You know, it's nice when you see a consistent Christian. One of the first things that happened when I came to Albany 11 years ago, I never will forget it. There was a young couple in fellowship with us at that time, and they wanted an apartment. And so the girl phoned down to the Albany Herald wanting an ad to be put in the paper for an apartment. And she said to the girl down the Albany Herald, she said, I want you to put in the ad that we're born again Christians. We neither smoke nor drink. Well, I don't know who the girl was down the Albany Herald that answered, but she must have been a Christian, for she said, is that latter necessary? You say you're born again Christian. Isn't that enough? You don't have to put in, you neither smoke nor drink. Wasn't that nice? Even the girl the Albany Herald said that. Why, if you tell the people you're born again Christian, you don't have to tell them you don't smoke or drink. They'll take that for granted that you're a born again Christian. And you'll be clean occupants of their apartment. That's growing to the glory of God. Growing straight up. Another thing about the lily, it's pure. It's true to its name. My, how often that expression is heard. Pure as a lily. Pure as a lily. There's nothing so attractive as purity. Purity. When you think of a Christian, my, how pure a Christian should be in thought, in word, in deed. And not stoop to the vile and foul and putrid things of life. One time I saw a lady carrying a little pooch on her pillow. Imagine that. White as snow. I don't know what kind of an animal it was. Maybe a chihuahua or something. Anyway, I know it had a tail just about as long as its body, and she was carrying it on this pillow. You could see it was fed with an eyedropper, like fed with vitamins, taken care of better than a little baby would be. Then I thought to myself, if she let that thing down and let it go its way, I'll guarantee you'd see its tail sticking out of a garbage can. Yet it could live on the very best that could be provided. But it's got an instinct to rummage among the garbage. Christian, leave the garbage cans alone. God has provided the best for you and me. What does he say in this word in Philippians 4:8? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. Feed on these things. Don't stoop to the garbage can. It's not a place for a Christian. It's inconsistent. The lily's pure. Not only so, it suggests happiness, the lily bell. The little bell that rings. Supposed to ring. The lily of the valley is the lily bell. And the very shape of it indicates a bell and indicates happiness. Let me tell you something. Purity and happiness go together. If a Christian is pure, and we're told to be pure, then you're going to be happy when the two go together. You can't divorce them. Philippine Christian, Philippian Christian, in all four chapters, you don't find the word sin mentioned, but you find the word rejoice, joy, something like 18 times. Because the two don't go together, joy and sin, they don't go together. You have joy, you can't be engaging in sin. If you're engaging in sin, you can't have the joy. Purity and rejoicing go together. The lily bell is pure, and the bell suggests its happiness. You know, its life is so brief, the lily. It's not like some other flowers and trees that last for many years. The little lily's life is very brief. Christian, your life and mine is very brief. Let's spend it like lilies. Lily among thorns, I mentioned that in the beginning. You read that in the Song of Solomon. Bridegroom likening his bride unto a lily among thorns. Oh, those thorns, how they prick, how they tear. Yes, a Christian's lot is oft times among thorns. There's many a lily, a God, child of God, one of God's children, in an office. And they're unsaved in that office. They're thorns. They don't mind pricking the Christian, the lily. They don't mind tearing the lily. The circumstances in the society are not very pleasant. He's put out his lily among thorns. That's the testimony of the Christian in this world full of thorns and briars. We're lilies among thorns. We can only expect the pricks and the tears from the unconverted. That's part of our plight as Christians. And then it says he feedeth among the lilies. Ah, he comes down and he feeds among the lilies. This morning, in our service before this, when we remembered the Lord Jesus Christ and the taking of the bread and the wine, there were a group of lilies here, born-again Christians, and the Lord Jesus was found in the midst of the lilies, in the garden, and he was feeding among the lilies. As each lily was thanking him for salvation, as each lily was bowing his head in worship and praising the Lord, he's feeding among the lilies. He's getting something out of his lilies. Isn't that something? He feeds among the lilies. But then we read, or I referred to it in Song of Solomon, he gathereth lilies. He gathereth his lilies. Some in bud, some in bloom. Oftentimes you read in the paper about a little child dying. The Lord Jesus has gathered one of his lilies in the bud. Then you read of an old person who's passed away, maybe a child of God, one who's been really born again. He's gathered one in full bloom. Maybe it's beginning to fade. He gathered it. Today he's gathering his lilies one by one. One of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gather all his lilies together. One of these days when he comes, he's going to gather the whole garden. He'll not leave a lily left. He'll not leave one lily behind in this poor old wicked world. He'll take all his lilies out from among the thorns and the briars. And the thorns and the briars are like the wicked. They're to be burned. They're to be judged. And he's going to take out your way all his lilies. What a day that is. The day is fast approaching. Every Christian is awaiting that day. Things in the world point to it. Things in the world indicate that day is not far distant when Jesus Christ shall come and gather up all his lilies to be forever with himself, to be like him. He'll gather them out from among the thorns and the briars. My concluding
You mark it this. What are you this morning? A lily or a thorn? If you're born again, you're a lily. If you're not born again, you're a thorn. You're among the briars. You can't be both. You've got to be one or the other. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Not a lily, a thorn. You may be a respectable thorn. You may be an honest thorn. But you're a thorn. That's not you. And when Jesus comes, he's going to take all the lilies. He's going to leave all the thorns. Not one thorn will be in that fruit that's caught up when Christ comes. All of them left behind for judgment, for the thorns and briars that be burned, the Bible says. What are you? Are you among the thorns this morning, the weeds? Or are you one of his lilies? Is it any wonder he tells us here in verse 28, consider the lilies. May it be yours and mine to consider them in the aspects we have presented them. If we are a lily, see to it that we grow like lilies. If you're not a lily, if you're just a thorn, then God grant this morning you will come to Jesus Christ, believe that he died upon the cross and shed his precious blood to put away all your sins, accept him as your Savior, that wonderful gardener who today is planting lilies, caring for his lilies, watching over his lilies, and that's that day when you should gather everyone home to whatever one is left. May you become a lily of God. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee and ask thy blessing upon thy word. We thank you for thy truth, how wonderful thy word is. We thank you for its variety. Even our Lord Jesus Christ told us to consider the lilies, and we've been considered this morning. We trust, Father, that we have received profit as we consider these lilies. Those of us who are saved by grace divine, may we look like lilies in the world, Jesus. May we act like them. We do pray for the unsaved. We trust that thy Holy Spirit will single out the thorns and the briars, the weeds. They may this morning see their loss and their end to be burned. May they come to Christ and